thank you for that beautiful choir, that beautiful follow-up song by Sister Welke. Thank you for the way that you let the Holy Ghost move in your life, the way you let the Holy Ghost minister through you to the church. God bless you, everyone. We're not looking for heroes. We're looking for worshipers. Amen. We're not looking for somebody that can get people to applaud us. We're looking for somebody who can get people to applaud the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's applaud. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." Lord, I pray again tonight, God, that you would anoint our ears to hear and anoint the preaching of your word. I pray that the intended message will come through and that people will understand what your fumbling, humble servant would bring in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. My most awesome responsibility as a pastor is to preach what I honestly believe that God has shown me to be truth. I must warn you of deceivers and downright liars who are all over this world. Jesus said there would be many false prophets. He didn't say there would be many faithful prophets or many faithful preachers. He said there would be many false prophets. Deception everywhere, but thank God for this book, this one holy book that will tell us the truth. Amen. So this is not always the easiest profession or calling or job in the world. Never do we mean to be hard. Never do we desire to hurt anyone with our preaching. My desire is that each one of you will be in heaven. Therefore, I feel that I must declare the whole counsel of God. And I trust that you want to hear the truth. Let me tell you something about this wicked old deceptive lying world. Oh, I don't mean to be crude and rude and have such harsh, nasty words for this world, but it's a wicked world. The Bible says it's a wicked world. Amen. I want to tell you one thing that the world wants, those that do believe in God or do believe in Jesus. The world wants a Jesus. The world wants a Jesus. The world wants a Jesus who is more like they are. And my sermon's final statement will answer this very clearly. The world wants a Jesus who is more like they are. They resent people who have a higher standard of holiness than they do. I've been known to do some preaching at work. And one man said to me, I won't tell you what religion he was, but he said to me, "I have a good priest. He isn't one of those holier than thou people. He'll sit down with you and share a dirty joke, and he'll sit down with you and have a beer." And so that's what they told me. And so these people misquote the prophet Isaiah when he said, There are some that say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. They accuse us because we have a higher holiness standard than they do, because we don't drink, and because we don't smoke, and because we don't cheat on our wives, and because we don't live like they do. They resent us. They want to bring us down to their level. They want to bring us down to their lifestyle. But what I want to know is, if what they do is not wrong, then why are they so defensive? Okay. You know, it's as though if I don't do the things that they do, somehow I'm the guilty one. The pressure is on me. I have to justify decency. I have to justify integrity. I have to justify fidelity. I have to justify one wife. I have to justify not cursing and swearing and telling dirty stories. Can I have the monitors up just a hair here? It's just not quite. Okay, thank you. There you go. Thank you. Praise the Lord. But let me tell you something, friend. God is holy. God was holy in the Old Testament, and God's holy in the New Testament. God Almighty stood and said in Jeremiah 2:5, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? And then Jesus, God in the flesh, says in the New Testament, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? They're offended. Because we want to be more like God. We want to be more like Jesus. We don't want to fall deeper into the gutter and deeper into the pig pen of sin. We want to climb out. We want to wash up and clean up in the blood of Jesus. We want to live godly lives and holy lives. Amen. It seems like they're offended because we want to be more like Jesus. That's a problem with them. So they want to bring Jesus down to their level. Come on. As I scanned the Saturday, November 15, 1997, Eau Claire newspaper, my attention was drawn to the article, Children's Bibles. Did anybody read that? Children's Bibles shape attitudes toward religion. And when I read this article, I was in a very emotional state. When I finished the article, I should say, I wept and I wept. I cried, oh God, they're attacking the Holy Scripture. They're attacking your holy word. They are making fun of truth. Listen to this. The prophet Elisha was walking from one town to another. On the way, he met a gang of mean boys. They teased the prophet because he had no hair. Get out of here, baldy, they shouted. Elisha turned and stared at the boys. Then he put a curse on them. Right away, two bears ran out of the woods and tore the boys to pieces. That account from 2 Kings 2:20. See, I want you folks to be able to answer this stuff. This stuff gets pretty hard for some Christians. They wonder themselves, why do we rejoice when David kills Goliath? And when David takes Goliath's own sword and cuts his head off. Violence. I want to answer that tonight. I want to answer that. I want you to be able to have answers tonight. I want you to have God-given, Bible-based answers. That account, I said, from 2 Kings 2:23 and 24 is unlikely to be found in any recent children's story Bible. Not a recent one. He says, it is violent, frightening, reflecting poorly on a biblical hero and confounding to any parent who has to explain it to a five-year-old. But 250 years ago, the story of Elisha and the bears was so popular, some children's Bibles multiplied the number of boys that are eaten. Said Ruth B.,
associate professor of comparative literature at State University of New York, Stony Brook, an authority on children's Bibles. Today, most children's Bibles are edited for violence, sexual content, and other behavior that would earn at least a PG-13 rating were it in a movie. In censoring those images, some scholars wonder if editors also excised, and I'm one of them, excised sin, judgment, repentance, forgiveness, and redemption. But they'll make light of that. For instance, today's story Bibles usually depict Noah with a happy scene of giraffes and elephants aboard the ark. No corpses float by as a reminder everyone else on earth drowned as judgment for their sins. Even the texts often omit that aspect. Generations ago, many children's Bibles illustrated the story with a woodcut of desperate people clinging to trees. Mothers held infants above water as the ark set sail without them. Children's Bibles rarely are viewed as important works of theology, but what goes into them and what is left out can shape a generation's image of God. Because many people never study the Bible seriously as adults, those childhood impressions may define their faith. For most people, 95% of what they know about the Bible comes from children's Bibles. In talks, when I tell a story as it appears in the Bible and then show what has been made of it for children, people are often amazed at what I tell them is in the Bible, she said. And so Ruth B. says, whose expertise is literature rather than theology, is not arguing for a return to violent graphic story Bibles. She was astounded at some of the material deemed fit for the spiritual edification of 18th century children. She was appalled to find one recent edition that included the account of the gang rape, murder, and dismemberment of the Levite's wife in Judges 19. I don't think children 8 to 12 years old should have to deal with that. Well, then you might as well shut down the public schools. I don't think children ought to have to deal with that. Hallelujah. Amen. Shut down Yale University, that's for sure. You read that article in the paper on Yale University? Oh, brother. Co-ed showers. Co-ed bathrooms. And 24-hour visitation rights. Come on. Don't tell me that God is bad. God is vile. And let me go on here. Amen. At the far end of the spectrum, there's an enormous range on the market today. At the far end of the spectrum are the ones that include Bible texts that I believe are inappropriate for children. Inappropriate for children. Okay. What about television? What about videos? What about all these things? And so, I quote. No, I already did that. Okay, so she says it's violent, it's frightening, it's reflecting poorly on a biblical hero and confounding to any parent who has to explain it to a five-year-old. Violent? Violent? The judgmental person, whoever that is, I don't know them, must not listen to a radio or watch TV or read the daily newspaper. Huh? Many more hours are spent watching violence on TV than are ever spent reading violence in the Bible. Jesus said to cast the beam out of your own eye. Then you'll see clearly. You know, cast the beam out of the television set. Then you'll see clearly to judge the Bible. And the radio. And the newspaper. And the schools. And Yale University. In New Haven, Connecticut. Okay. So Jesus said, clean up your own act first. And when you fail, which you will, and if you admit failure, you probably get a glimpse of who God really is. I would like to draw a contrast, if I could, between God and man. How he is holy, and man is arrogant. Amen.
edit Bibles?
Listen, you're going to edit Bibles? God has a stern warning on editing Bibles.
Here's what he says. 4 times in Holy Scripture, lest anybody would think that you're just not supposed to add to the book of Revelation or subtract from the book of Revelation. Oh, no. It's in the first part of the Bible. It's in the middle of the Bible. It's all over the Bible. Let's read it. Deuteronomy, that's the first book of the Bible. That's the Pentateuch. Says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Did you know it was in Deuteronomy? Okay. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Jeremiah 26, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, you take away violence out of the Bible, and God's going to take away your part in the book of life. That's what I want to tell the world. You don't mess with that book, mister. You don't mess with that book, educator. You don't mess with that book, philosopher. You don't mess with that book, Mr. Public. Nobody touches God's book. God shall take away his part. You take the violent stories out of the Bible. You take the sexual content out of the Bible. And God's going to take away their part out of the book of life. That's what he said. That's what he said. There is nothing wrong with the Bible. I've heard the Bible all my life. I read the Bible through and I got saved immediately, 16 years old. I got the Holy Ghost and I read it through and never once was I offended by the Bible. I'll tell you what offended me was my lifestyle. What offended me was the way I was living, not the way the Bible told. God's word is holy. God says the truth. And when they sinned, they sinned. And God told about it. God didn't hide David's sin of adultery, David's sin of attempt of murder. God didn't hide David's sin. He didn't hide anybody's sin. Hallelujah. This idea of adding and subtracting to the Bible, from the Bible, is inspired by Satan himself. Did God really say? Did God really say? Satan wants to get you to doubt God's word. And when the devil can get us to doubt the word of Almighty God, he's got us in a position where he can make a killing. I defend the word of God. I defend every word in it. Amen. Every act of violence in it, because God's intention is not their understanding of it. They don't know God's intention. Man, you know why? Because they've rejected the word of God. They've rejected the existence of God. And the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And the reason he says it is because he's corrupt. He's abominable. The Bible says so. That's why he doesn't want to believe in God, because he doesn't want a judgment to go to. Doesn't want to answer to a God. Ye shall not surely die. I can just see the devil saying that. Oh, no, Eve. Ye shall not surely die. And the world says this. Their counterpart says this in today's generation. No, ye shall not surely die. God is a God of love. God is a good God. In fact, God is love. Why, he wouldn't do that just for eating a piece of fruit? Nah, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't send 2 she-bears out of the woods for smarting off with a prophet of God and devour 42 children, the Bible says. God wouldn't do that. Come on, that part's not really inspired word of God. God wouldn't send anybody to hell for fornicating. No, the world tells us God wouldn't send anybody to hell for adulterating. God wouldn't send anybody to hell for drunkenness. Why, everybody gets drunk once in a while. No, listen, I want you to know that God does say that in the Word of God. He does say that. Amen. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. There you have it, folks. The world says God wouldn't do that. No, he's a God of love. He's too good. Oh, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Yes, God is a God of love. Let me tell you something. Amen. God is a God of love. And he will consign someone to hell for fornicating. And people that do fornicate, that's premarital sex, by the way, are going to hell just as sure as God's word is true. Let me tell you, anybody that's living together and adulterating and fornicating is going to hell. We don't want it. The world says, nah. God's a God of love. God's a God of love. No, God's just going to overlook that. Oh, no, God wouldn't do that. God's a God of love. Listen, he's already done it. He's got a record of doing it. And there were floating bodies, by the way. Even though they picture the smiling giraffes and elephants and so on, you know. By Noah's Ark. Oh, yes, there were the floating bodies. And there were the mothers holding their babies and trying to keep them alive while they went, dead. Drowned. The whole world died. Babies and everything. We need to know something about a holy God. That's what we need to know. And we need to know something about our rotten sins. And how they stand to be... Hey, there ain't no much preaching around here this way. I mean, around this world this way. There isn't much of that. Everybody wants to get in heaven with their fornicator. With their partner. Everybody wants to go to heaven drunk. It ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen. Amen. We need to cry out to God. We need to hear the truth. There needs to be repentance in the land. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, too many people are lying. Too many pulpits are lying today. And they're saying that we can go ahead and fornicate, and we can go ahead and adulterate, and we can go ahead and cheat on our husbands and cheat on our wives, and we can go ahead and have premarital sex as young people and go to heaven too. No. Don't believe it. It's a lie. It'll cost you your eternity in hell. I'll guarantee you on the Word of God. Who's going to get excited about that? Who's going to cry out, cry aloud? All I'm doing is reading the Word of God. Listen to me. Please listen to me. Yes, God is love. God is love. Everybody say, God is love. Amen. But it's not sloppy agape. And it's not greasy grace. What they're doing is abusing grace instead of singing Amazing Grace. God is love. But his love is not manifested or demonstrated by smiling upon our unrepented of sins. You hear that? Let me say that again. His love is not manifested or demonstrated by smiling upon our sins. His love was manifested on an old rugged cross where he died for the sins of the world. And by the way, he didn't die to save us in our sins. He died to save us from our sins. He died to destroy the works of the devil. He died to purge us from our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that? That's the message of love. That God would take a filthy, rotten, no good, low down sinner. And restore him. And save him. And let him live forever with him and his holy angels in eternity. That's love. Don't tell me that God's going to let that junk in heaven. And if it's not repented of, it's not going there anyway. I tell you, I wept one time when I read in Matthew. Thank you, Benny. When I read in Matthew chapter 13 about about those things that offend, he's not going to allow any of that in there. He's going to take everything out. Everything out. Amen. Yeah, the devil said God wouldn't do that. But God says he will. And such, oh, I love this part. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. See, you were on your way to hell, wasn't I? Or was I born saved? Was I just born an angel? You know, I was just born saved. No, I don't think I was. Amen. I did too many rotten things. Committed too many sins. Got into too much trouble. Amen. But and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise God for salvation. Praise God for the love of God that was expressed on Calvary's cross. Amen. Amen. Okay, folks, I just want you to know that I am set like the Apostle Paul for the defense of the gospel. I am set for the defense of the Holy Bible. Amen. Amen. The newspaper article that I read accuses God of violence. Let me tell you something. God wants to be known just as he is. God wants to be known just as he is described, depicted in the Holy Bible. You see, God's not hiding anything. He wants to be known just like he is. He wants us to preach him just the word of God, just like it says. It wasn't God that hid, folks. It was Adam and Eve that hid. Uh-huh. Amen. God's not ashamed of himself. They were ashamed. They were naked. They didn't know it. They sinned. God found it out. So God's not ashamed of himself. God is holy. Listen, the world attempts to make God look bad. The world attempts to make God look bad. The world wants us to believe that they are better than God. I don't know how much you read, and I don't know how much you listen, and I don't know how much you observe, and I don't know how much you think about these things, but I do. I really do. And the world wants us to believe that they are kinder than God, and they are more tolerant than God. I wouldn't flood all those babies. I wouldn't drown innocent children. I wouldn't rain fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. No, just for homosexuality, just for sodomy, just for sad. Oh no, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't let two she-bears out of the woods and kill 42 children. I'm too humane. Well, we're even better to animals than that. I'm too decent. I'm too righteous to do that. They attempt to make God look bad. And they say, if God is a God of love, why doesn't he heal AIDS? If God is a God of love, why doesn't he stop accidents? If God is a God of love, why does he let little children and old ladies suffer and old men die? And why doesn't he stop war? Okay, you can't really trust this God. Trust us. Isn't that sick? Don't trust God, trust us. They try to make God look bad by making themselves look good. That's what they do. But yet this world will kill untold millions of babies and call it a glob or call it a fetus or call it whatever you will. Funny, but in an animal, they say that you collect insurance and so on, you know, on a fetus. I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I've read about it. The world will kill innocent babies, children, millions and millions and millions of them. They'll legalize intoxicating beverages, which causes premature death by disease and causes innocent people death on the highway and causes broken homes and causes divorce and on the list goes. They'll legalize they got these beautiful names, you know, consensual immorality, which is causing VD, which is causing AIDS and so on. And you know, they'll make you feel so good. And they got the picture of the pretty girl going to Stout University here, and they say, oh, that dirty, rotten, low-down AIDS. You know, it doesn't have any mercy. That's a reflection on God, see? Because if God's a God of love, why doesn't he give man a cure for this disease? He did give a cure. He said, don't fornicate and don't adulterate. And amen. They have rejected God. They have rejected his word. They want a Jesus who is more like them. That's what I said. Okay. 18-year-old April R. of Menominee dreams of starting a shelter for abused women. And she got AIDS because she lived with a promiscuous fella. And on and on the article goes, and everybody's feeling sorry for her. Now, I feel sorry for her, too. I feel sorry because she doesn't know Jesus. Amen. Okay. Now listen to this one. Scared teenager with VD. Finds help at free clinic. This is Ann. Dear Ann Landers, I am a 17-year-old high school senior. A few weeks ago, my boyfriend told me I might have VD. He took me to a free clinic at the public health department where they don't even use names, just numbers. I was scared out of my wits and wanted to. I feel sorry for this girl. I do. She sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned and didn't want to stop sinning. And finally, her sin caught up with her. See, the wages of sin is death. I was scared out of my wits. I wanted to leave. My heart goes out to her. But a friendly nurse who noticed how nervous I was called my number before I could get out of there. She looked about mom's age and was very kind and friendly and made it easy for me to ask questions. She answered them all and gave me some booklets to read. After I saw the doctor, that same nurse put her arm around me and said if there was something I didn't understand, I could phone her. She then gave me her telephone number that really made me feel that someone cared. I'll never forget her. I just hope that person that was counseling with her was a Christian and could tell her that she can be forgiven of her sins. Don't you pray for people like this? I now know that VD must be taken care of, and so on and so on and so on. Okay, and so Ann Landers writes back, I'm glad you wrote to tell your story. It gives me another chance to urge my readers, if they suspect there is any chance of VD, to see a doctor at once. If you don't have a doctor, look in the phone book under Board of Health, call for details, and ask for an appointment if necessary. And then Ann Landers says, don't be ashamed. VD is a sickness. That's what Ann Landers said. What propaganda? Don't be ashamed. That's the problem God had with sinners, was they weren't ashamed. They couldn't blush. They weren't embarrassed over their sin. That's a big problem. God's got that problem, so he has no way to save them. If you're not repentant, no way to save. Okay? No one will judge you. And here's what I thought was pretty good. I thought this was pretty smart alecky, you know? Don't be ashamed. VD is a sickness. You know, be comfortable with your sin and the product of it, the fruit of it. No one will judge you or give you a lecture on morality. Oh, I thought. You know, we preachers are mean. We preach against sin. We preach against adultery. We preach against fornication. We preach against all these sexual sins. We preach against sin, basically and generally and specifically sometimes. But she says, no one will judge you or give you a lecture on morality. You see, these preachers, all they want to do is scream at you and give you a lecture on morality. You see, so come to us. Come to us. We're the ones that can help you. And we won't make you ashamed. We won't lead you to repentance, is what they're saying. Because you haven't sinned. Because everything's okay. There's no wrong. And then VD is a sickness. And we won't give you a lecture on morality. Okay, Jesus does better than that. John 8. They caught a woman in the very act of adultery. Right? And they dragged this woman to Jesus and said, what do you say? The law says stone her. Now, what do you say? He says, you that have no sin among you. You that have no sin among you, pick up the first stone. Go ahead and start stoning her. From the eldest, they were the smartest, to the youngest. They had some things to learn. They dropped their stones and they left.
They left the woman standing there alone with Jesus. And Jesus said, where are those thine accusers? Does anybody accuse you? She said, no man, Lord. And he says, neither do I accuse you. And then he gave her a lecture. And he said, go and sin no more. Why don't we hear that? Jesus is better than they are. Amen. Jesus forgave this adulterous woman. Then he gave her a lecture on morality, which they mock and laugh at, these lectures on morality. The world does not forgive. The world does not forgive because there was no sin committed. The world doesn't give a lecture on morality because in their eyes, adultery and fornication is not immoral. Are not immoral. Okay. But Jesus knew that the wages of sin is death. And because Jesus is good, he gives a lecture on morality. Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Aren't you glad for the truth of the Word of God? Aren't you glad for the power to stop sinning? Amen. Amen. See, the world doesn't care for your future and your health. They probably think they do, but they don't. See, the world says, oh, okay, we got this cure for you now. And so you just get cured and you go right on with your present lifestyle. And Jesus says, go and sin no more and stop your present lifestyle. Lecture on morality. See, Jesus cares. Jesus really cares. The world uses terminology like compassionate care. These are statements from the AMA, American Medical Association. And here's another quote. Providing medical service with compassion and respect for human dignity. And I write, don't confuse human compassion with the love of God. Totally different. Human compassion and the love of God could be antithetical, absolutely opposites. Amen. So, see, the world says, I wouldn't burn anyone in hell. Well, let me say, somebody said that, and here's what I said to them. Well, you can't do it anyway, so it's no issue. But God can, so it's an issue. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, they talk as if God, the Creator, has no right to deal with His own creation as He sees fit and proper. I like that verse in Romans, chapter 9, where Paul says, he anticipates the question, you know, and he says, who art thou, O man, that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? What are you doing to me? No. No, it's not right. What about the parable of the householder who hired laborers and agreed with all of them for a penny a day? And then some other guys came in and got hired in the 11th hour. And they who labored 1 hour got the same wages. They got a whole penny also. They got the same wages as those that had borne the heat of the day. Is that right? You know what? They complained. They said, how come? How come? You know what? You know what the householder said? Listen to this. This is classic. This is wonderful. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Get out of here. Gripers, complainers, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? We are the creation. God is the creator. Who are we to talk back to God unless we don't believe in Him? The fear of the Lord is missing in the land, folks. Ooh, you better believe it. Let me make a statement. A flawed picture of God. People have a flawed picture of God.
They really do. God is love. Yes, God is love. But his love was expressed on Calvary, not in tolerating our sin. Not in condoning our sin. That's not the love of God. The love of God cost him blood. Cost him his life. Amen. Okay. So I make this statement. A flawed picture of God is the result of an exalted picture of man. And I've said it, and some of you have reminded me of it time after time, that we have altogether too high an opinion of ourselves. We think, for some stupid, crazy, unintelligent reason, we think that God owes us something. We think that God owes us something. He doesn't owe us a thing. Nothing. We sinned and we came short of the glory of God, and that goes for every one of us. And every one of us were lost, and every one of us needs salvation. Hallelujah. Boy, aren't you glad you got saved just in time? Whew. Man, oh man, I'm saved. I'm glad I got saved. Error. Man is intrinsically good. Now, this is what you read in these books, you know. Man is intrinsically good. That's an error. Error. We are becoming more and more civilized. Of course, that's a result of evolution. Error. We can solve our own problems without the intervention of God. The real picture of man, fact or truth, he was not evolved. He did not evolve. He was created. He doesn't own himself. He's the property of God, and God can dispose of it any way he sees fit. Amen. And people can cuss and swear God, and God can just put his foot down and squash them out. And that's the end of that nonsense. Oh, but God is love. Wait a minute. God is holy. There's two sides to this coin. He's love, but he's holy. Amen. And he can make you holy with his blood and his spirit. He can make you holy. But if you refuse to do it God's way, there's not a chance. Amen. Truth. He's a fallen man. Truth. He is totally depraved. You know, they say the same, oh, there's some good in the worst of us and there's some bad in the best of us. I think that's error. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Boy, that's hard to take, isn't it? Amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The true picture of God, God is holy. God is love. Okay. Okay, I got some deep stuff here. I wept and I wept and I wept when God was giving this to me. You take it for what it's worth. God could have destroyed Adam and Eve. God could have destroyed Adam and Eve, but then no one would ever be saved. Obviously, because there was no one. There would be no one. God doesn't know defeat. God wasn't taken by surprise when Adam and Eve sinned. Oh, no. He was ready with a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Then no one would ever be saved had he destroyed Adam and Eve. So instead, God pronounced a death penalty upon them. And I have to say, hallelujah. He didn't destroy us. He didn't destroy them, but a death penalty on us. And now, because Jesus died and was not destroyed. See, it wouldn't do any good for Jesus to be destroyed for Adam and Eve. But if he died for them, he could resurrect, he could save, he could cleanse. Amen. And now, brother and sister, it's not that everybody's saved, it's that whosoever will may come. You want to come? You want to be saved? You can be saved tonight. You can repent and obey the gospel. You can be saved tonight. Amen.
Aren't you thankful that Jesus partook of our humanity? I'm closing with this statement now. And Jesus partook of our humanity without partaking of our sin. Miracle of miracles. It's a little deep. Let me get it across to you. Jesus partook of our humanity without partaking of our sin. We partake of his divine nature. And begin changing. And begin changing. He partook of our humanity without partaking of our sin. We partake of his divine nature and begin changing. Would you stand? I have two lines left in my sermon tonight. I want to say it again. He partook of our humanity without partaking of our sin. We partake of his divine nature and begin changing. Little by little, we become more like him. I'm sorry, world, if you want a Jesus that's more like you. This partaking of the divine nature causes us to change. And little by little, we become more like him. He never becomes more like us. He partook of our human nature and never partook of our sin. He will never become more like us. We will become more like him. Not covering up our sin, but washed in the blood. Hallelujah. If you're thankful for your salvation, if you're thankful for the love of God, the holiness of God, amen, worship him. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, 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 my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God, amen, amen, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, forgive us, Lord, when we think, Lord, that you should be more like us. Oh, no, no. We should be more like you, Lord. And you are holy. You are righteous. You are faithful. Oh, God, you are love. Lord, you are love. You are love, Lord.